You will now call forward our speaker, Mr. Arthur Hughes, to give his remarks upon the subject, the covenant made with David. Mr. Arthur, please.
Last week, from this platform, we heard an address entitled Christ, the Future King of the World. In that address, we heard how that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one foretold by the prophets to be the future King of the world. This evening, then, we shall, through the Scripture, see that this glorious time will also herald in the re-establishment of the kingdom of Israel under the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all aware of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when asked by the Roman governor Pilate, "Was he the king of the Jews? Art thou," said Pilate, "the king of the Jews?" To which the Lord Jesus replied, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. For this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." We remember too, no doubt, how Pilate had written over the cross on which Jesus was crucified, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And what Pilate wrote, though not appreciated by the rulers, is soon to be proved true. For as the title of our address shows this evening, God made a covenant with King David of old, that king of Israel in the past, that the seed of his loins would sit upon his throne and rule over the established, re-established kingdom of Israel. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 1. The psalmist says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." And it is worth mentioning here that that verse, seed, in verse 4, means zarakar in the Hebrew, and it means a singular seed. Thy seed, a singular seed, will I establish forever and build up before thy throne unto all generations. Turn to chapter 2, verse 24. "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my Elohim, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." Verse 34. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." His seed, once again it is the singular seed, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Here we see then that God entered into a pledge, an undertaking with David, king of Israel, to uphold his kingdom in an unlimited future, and that this oath or covenant had reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the chapter our brother read to us, 2 Samuel. We first turn Second Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Then they told David, Second Samuel 23 and verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And ye shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although ye make it not to grow. Here we have then David promised that his seed, one of his seed, would sit upon his throne in the later years for an unlimited future. How many in Christendom have said that these words were fulfilled in David's son Solomon, who reigned upon the throne of David because of the word said, I will be his father and he shall be my son. Without doubt, Solomon's reign was a time of prosperity, great prosperity. It was one of the finest kingdoms on earth at the time. And there was peace for 40 years. But it was surely not a morning without clouds. It was surely not the realization of the covenant that God made with David. Solomon sinned and turned away from God and led Israel astray. His kingdom was rent in two through the perversion of a son who departed from God. No, the covenant God made with David spoke of better things than that of Solomon's reign. Let us look at that covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, wished to build God a house. His desire was to build a house that the Spirit of God could dwell there. And in verse 10 we read, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And that's just the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. He will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for ever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Seeing then, as we have said, that Solomon is not the one spoken of here, let us prove by Scripture that it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and of a time in the future, and see how much of the covenant has been fulfilled in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, let us see what Christ will need to do at his future manifestation in order to fill that part of the covenant which was unquestionably not realized in his first appearing. Turn to Luke's Gospel record, chapter 4. Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 4. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is in the synagogue in Nazareth. And we read in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And it was true, because Christ did recover sight to the blind. He did set at liberty them that are bruised with sin, and give them the hope of salvation. But he closed the book and sat down, and they expected him to carry on. Turn with me to Isaiah 61, the chapter or the portion of scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ read on that day at Nazareth. 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then we read words that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorious. And then he says in verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of a day of vengeance, the words of Isaiah. And that day of vengeance came in AD 70 with the wickedness of the Jews and how they crucified their Messiah. And we go now to David. David's days having been fulfilled, he died, and now awaits in the dust of the earth resurrection, for the very time, for the very thing to come to pass of which Isaiah speaks of. That time to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of David. Jesus, we shall see, was spoken of as David's greater son, was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, by Mary, a maid in the line of David. And the event is spoken of in Luke's gospel record. Let's just turn to that record, the gospel according to Luke, and chapter 2 and verse 10. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings," speaking to the shepherds, "of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign unto you, shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I ask you a question. Since the very days that those angels spoke to those shepherds, has there been peace and goodwill on earth toward men? There hasn't been. The Prince of Peace has not returned to sit upon his throne. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 68, to the prophecy of Zechariah's father. Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. Zechariah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world begun, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember the oath, the holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham." I ask another question. Have the Jews been saved from their enemies? The Jews have been persecuted since the day that the Lord Jesus Christ entered heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ was born without human paternity. His conception was due to the power of the Holy Spirit upon the womb of Mary, his mother. Therefore, said the angel, "He shall be called the Son of God." So the covenant would apply to Jesus. "I will be his father, and he shall be my son." The next feature in the covenant corresponds to the history of Christ. He did not commit iniquity. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled. The scribes and Pharisees and rulers could find no fault in him. Yet he was chastened with the rod of men. In 2 Samuel 7 and 14 we read, "If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." But the more correct translation here by Adam Clark is, even in his suffering for iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes due to the children of Adam. And the Apostle Paul says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. God said in that covenant, and my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. God rejected Saul, Israel's first king, king of Israel, because he lacked faith and obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. The Lord Jesus Christ sits in the heavens at the right hand of his Father, and is to return to rule this earth in righteousness. Though the Lord Jesus Christ, we read, was forsaken on the cross, it was but for a moment, forever returned the moment he rose from the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. Turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. These are the words of David, who Christendom would like to believe is in heaven. But if we turn to the second chapter of Acts to confirm the words that we have just read, we will find that David is not in heaven, but who is in the grave awaiting until Christ returns, that he might be raised from the dead. We read from verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. We cannot have it any plainer, can we? Christendom believes that they go to heaven when they die. David, Peter says on the day of Pentecost, David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. David is waiting in the grave, in the dust of the earth, for that call to go forth, that he might rise from the dead. In Psalm 89, verse 27, we read, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And in your own time, turn to the 20th chapter of Revelation, and there will you read that the Lord Jesus Christ shall reign for 1,000 years upon this earth. In no sense at all was Solomon God's firstborn. Adam was, as we are all aware, created and forfeited his right as the firstborn through his transgression. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. We read from verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the Ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature of that wonderful age to come. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him or through him and for him. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And chapter 15 and verse 20. Verse 20. Apostle Paul, in answer to them who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In this respect, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills a condition of the covenant made with David, which in no way is satisfied in Solomon, and is indeed, even now, higher than the kings of the earth. For as the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we consider this wonderful covenant that God made with David, we will see, as we said at the outset, that Jesus has not yet fulfilled all that was predicted in that covenant. And the one very important point is that he should sit upon the throne of David. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we are all aware, is in heaven. In no way can be said that Jesus has sat upon the throne of David. It certainly is not in heaven, for David ruled in Jerusalem. And in Psalm 48 and verse 2 we read, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Christ has never sat upon the throne in Jerusalem. The throne of David is non-existent at the present moment because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. And Ezekiel tells us quite plainly that they have not had a king for many, many years. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 25. Ezekiel 21 and verse 25. And thou, speaking of Zedekiah, that wicked king of Israel, and thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end, he ran away from Jerusalem with those around him when the Nebuchadnezzar army came to take the city. Thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until... It shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Zedekiah, who was the last king in David's line, reigned in 593 BC, 593 years before Christ. Since that time, the kingdom has been overturned. It was overturned by Nebuchadnezzar in the lifetime of Zedekiah. It was overturned by the Greeks and by the Romans. Since the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus the Roman in AD 70, it has had a checkered history. And though in our day we have seen the Jews as predicted returning to the land, and against all odds becoming a nation in 1948, there has not in any sense been a Jewish king sitting upon the throne in Jerusalem. God does not lie. He tells us in there, he said, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. There has not in any sense been a Jewish king sitting upon the throne in Jerusalem, let alone a king in David's line. Herod, who ruled at the time Jesus was born, was not a Jew. He was an Idumean. There has no Jew ruled. But this part of the covenant is very important part of the covenant, because it is going to be fulfilled. That part of that covenant will be fulfilled as predicted by the scriptures of truth. Turn to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. This is about to come when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Turn to Ezekiel 21 and verse 27. And we read those words that we just read. 21 and verse 27. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word spoken to Mary at the birth of Jesus, that he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom that there shall be no end, will come to pass, and that in the very near future. And David, that illustrious king of Israel in the past, will be raised to be present when the kingdom shall be restored, as we read in that covenant and in Acts. This promise of reigning with the Lord Jesus in that restored kingdom was also given to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ and to all who would walk in faith with him. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We are told too in that covenant that ye shall build a house for my name. The house spoken of here is the dynasty, as we see in the events of past kings upon the earth. Turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 15. Acts 15 and verse 15. And here we have the words of Simeon in verse 14. Simeon hath declared, O God, that the first did visit the Gentiles, you and I, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Not everybody, not an universal everybody being in that kingdom. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. And how do we have the name of Christ upon us? Is being baptized into his saving name and walking in hope unto that kingdom. We have here a house to be built in the kingdom age, that the people might enter also in a literal house built upon the earth, that people might enter into that house to praise and extol the great and mighty God and Jesus Christ, his glorious Son, who shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in that day. Isaiah, we won't turn to it, the time is gone. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us that the people in that day shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God from Jerusalem. Not from heaven, from Jerusalem, the place where that seed of David shall sit to rule the earth in righteousness and peace. Zechariah 14 and verse 16. Zechariah 14 and verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And so forth, which you can read in your own time. It is then at that time that the words spoken by the angels at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ shall come to pass. They have not come to pass in those days, but they will come to pass when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And then it shall be said, peace on earth and goodwill to all, and glory to God in the highest. For all men upon earth shall worship and extol the God of heaven in that day, and not as they do today. Surely it will be realized by all that the one who would bring peace to this troubled world would need to be wise, to be powerful, and to have with him a multitude of faithful ones at his side. The Lord Jesus Christ is all wise, and he has been invested with the power from on high, and will have with him in that day a multitude of faithful followers. Turn to Psalm 149 when we consider this wicked world in which we live. Psalm 149. Praise for verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people because of their wickedness, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honour of all his saints. Alleluia. Those faithful ones who will be with the Lord Jesus Christ will be with him to judge this wicked world in righteousness. And then shall come peace on earth and goodwill upon mankind. We, if we desire, can be there in that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ sits upon his throne. This is the day of opportunity. You and I can be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that day. God has spoken. He has revealed in his word that his covenant shall come to pass, and nothing can stop it. The prophet Daniel, speaking of these days, said, They that be wise, that is wise in their day and generation, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. May we, each and every one of us, as we consider these wonderful things, when that covenant made with David is about to be realized, may we take upon ourselves the saving name of the Lord Jesus, and so be with him in that day, to give unto God the praise, the glory, and the honor that is his due.